Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ, we commence our last class of the day. Let's all rise and sing hymn 300. 300. Now let's kneel down and pray together and ask God to guide us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we continue to share the book of Nehemiah. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night. For the children of Israel are your servants, and confess the sin of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. Verse 7. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statute, nor the ordinances, which you commanded your servant Moses. So the last time we shared that, you can see when Nehemiah prayed, he prayed with the heart of repentance. And the first thing we mentioned that the Israelite, one of the sins they committed against God was intermarriage. So because of this, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. Verse 25. So I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them and pulled out their hair, and make them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your son or yourself. Then verse 26. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God make him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women cause even him to sin. So we know for us, if we want to build a strong wall around our hearts, if we want to build a strong wall around the church, we must get rid of our sin. And the first sin we need to get rid of, that is not to marry with outsiders, with Gentiles. It doesn't matter how handsome they are. It doesn't matter how beautiful they are. But in the eyes of God, they are still sinners because they have not been purchased by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even we say that, even you marry within the church, you must also be very careful. Because not every brothers and sisters are sheep. Some of us also are goats. Even now, some of the marriage, one sister, of course, is very, very embarrassing for her to share this with me, right? But because she has no other way to reach out for help. So she shared with me that her husband, which is a member of TJC for many years, probably third generation. So when they're intimate, the husband would force her to watch pornographic, right? And do exactly what the people do in the pornographic, right? So for her, even though she married a brother, actually this brother also one of church council members. Right? It's very sad to hear this, right? So that's why really we must pray. So this sister, she suffers so much even though she married a brother. Because this brother, the way he acts, just like a Gentile, right? But she cannot divorce him, right? She has to be with him the rest of her life. But meanwhile, every time, right, she feels so distressed, right? She feels so hurt that her husband can do such things, right? And do this kind of stuff to her. But that's why we must be very careful when we want to find a spouse. And we really must pray to God to find the right spouse. For me, right, when I first, came to Christ, and during the time I was already engaged with my wife, and when I received the Holy Spirit that night, when I was praying to God, God told me very clearly. Back then, I really did not know the Bible. And he told me, if my fiance did not come to be baptized in true Jesus Church, I cannot marry her. I cannot marry her. And back then, I did not know. So because of this, I was so afraid, so I fasted and prayed for her. Because during that time, she was studying in France. And I, my wife, she's very stubborn, right? And I know for her to come to TJC and be baptized can be very difficult. But praise and thank God, God had mercy on me, right? When she came back from France, and then, she went to church the first time, and she fell asleep in a front pew, and she was snoring, out loud, right? That's her first experience in TJC, right? Because back then we watched the VHS, right, on TV, right? And it's very snowy and, it's not so exciting, right? So she fell asleep. But thank God, after that, God moved her heart, right? And during the time, she did not go back to France and study. Why? Because the word that she told me that, let's worship God together, right? That was the word that she told me. So she went back to France, take all her luggages back, right? And then we start to worship God. And since then, that was, 14 years ago. Right? Really praise and thank God. And my wife, she's completely just the opposite, for what I like in a woman, right? Really just completely opposite. But God knows me better than I know myself, right? My wife, she's not too tall, right? She's only 5'3", right? And usually, I like taller women, right? And I like women to be very feminine, but my wife, she's very, sporty and tomboy kind of thing, right? And her hair, even one time, I had such a big fight with her because she cut her hair so short, right? Because for me, I like women to be long hair, right? But praise and thank God, really, God gave me the best wife, right? First, she doesn't nag. That is so wonderful. Sisters, really, really. When wife doesn't nag, it's so beautiful, really, right? Of course, sisters, sometimes as a wife, you feel needy. It's okay, needy is not as the same as nagging, right? So she doesn't nag. Second, she hates shopping, right? That's another beautiful thing, right? Because when she goes shopping, guess what? She gets a headache. How wonderful that is, right? No, I'm saying really, right? So because of this, she hardly ever goes shopping, right? And she never asks you for anything. And we can live a very simple life, right? She doesn't need much, right? The last apartment we have is 500 square foot, right? And had my nephew there with me, right? And my dog was there too, right? Just there's four of us and the house is very small. But she was very content, right? Very content. And then, she loved to play sports, but she always beat me almost every sports. If I wasn't tall, play basketball with her, she would beat me for sure. Yeah, she was sure. And I'm getting old too, So what I'm saying that really pray to God for your spouse. Don't only look outward appearance, because on the end, in the future, I'm telling you, no one will look. I mean, look at Brad Pitt now. You see Brad Pitt lately? Or Tom Cruise lately? I don't know. You guys are too young, maybe. Brad Pitt is way too old already for you guys. Who you guys like now? Justin Bieber? Is that what I was saying? And he looks way too feminine for me, right? With that kind of $600 haircut kind of stuff, right? But whatever it is, right? One day, really one day, everybody will get old, right? So, but the inner beauty, that is so much more important, right? So if you're looking for inner beauty, you cannot find it outside the church, I'm telling you, right? Only with the Spirit of God, you can find someone inside the church to manifest the beauty of Christ, right? It's so amazing, right? Really. Quite often when I talk to the sisters, right? Well, they are so gentle, right? They are so kind, they are so loving, right? And that's one of the reasons why I came to TJC. Did I testify that to you? Because before I came to TJC, right, back then I dressed very strangely. I used to dress in Boston. I dressed with a long coat, right? And I wear cowboy boots, right? And yeah, so I dressed like a gangster, like, right? So I remember the first Bible study I went to. And I look at all the TJ sisters. They're like, wow, these sisters are strange, right? Strange in a good way, right? Because when they speak, I hardly can hear them. Like, what do you say? Because they speak so soft, right? Then when they speak, they feel, I look at them, they seem like they're full of joy, right? And they're very gentle and very kind, right? For me, I feel like, wow, these sisters, right? These women, I never see this kind of women outside the church, right? So thank God, that kind of peace and joy they have, I also want to have inside my heart. And that's why I thank God, you know, when I went the second time, right? So really praise and thank God, right? So what was the first verse we quoted that, you know, marry outside the church is a sin? Where did we go? What book did we go to? Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, right? 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with unbeliever? Verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they should be my people. So here, who know what a yoke is? What is a yoke? Before, I always thought a yoke was like egg yolk, right? But what is a yoke here they're talking about? Huh? Yeah, so when like the cows and stuff, they're plowing, they're under the yoke, right? Right. So there's no way, you guys are too young to plow anything, right? Actually, when I was in Cambodia, right? 6, 7 years old, right? I also plowed the field, right? And if you put two different cows, right, side by side, what is going to happen? What can happen? Yes, it doesn't work. One want to go this side, I want to go that side, right? So that's why you have to find the cows that the one is strong on the left side, one is strong on the right side, right? And they complement one another. So because of this, they just go wherever their strength is. And horse is the same thing with chariot, right? Actually, when you choose chariot, you have to understand the 6 horses, right? You must pick the right one. If you don't pick the right one, the horse cannot run too good. If you pick all 6 fast horses, it's not going to work, right? You guys know that, right? Because not all fast horses can run together, right? So I'm talking about, and relationship is so important, right? We cannot yoke with a person who have different beliefs, right? Different concept, right? We are the temple of God. Their bodies are temple idols. Why? Because they commit great sin against God. Not because they want to, but that's the only life that they know. So if truly that person meant to be your Adam or your Eve, God will bring them to church. God will bring them to church. And that person will be baptized. And that person will be married to you. But don't rush. Right? Don't rush. Don't fall in love beforehand. Don't commit sin beforehand. If you do that, and then woe to you, right? Really. And then give me a couple more verses concerning that marrying outside is a sin, right? men Gentiles sin. Anyone else? No, it's good that all you write things down, right? It's very good that you all write things down. But more importantly, you write inside your hearts, right? Because not all the time you can have notes with you wherever you go, right? But you must memorize it, meditate on it, right? Right now, if each one of you should start to study the Bible, by the time you're my age, 20 years from now, you will know the Bible just like the back of your hands. Really, right? So give me another book, another verse, another chapter. I could say that, you know, marrying outside is a sin. Yes, yes. 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. I always remember that. Chapter 6, okay? Both. So 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. Chapter 6. We'll start from verse 15, okay? 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 15. Do you not know that your body are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of harlot? Certainly not. Verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It cannot be more clear than this. Right? Don't think that God has favoritism. Don't think God has partiality. No. It's not about that at all. Really, quite often when I meet outsiders, right, I have friends who are not belong to a church. Some of them are so nice and so kind, right? My uncle, right, he's been married to the same woman for the last 45 years, right? 45 years. And he never had girlfriends and stuff before. Never had girlfriends and stuff before, right? But it seemed outwardly he's a very nice guy, right? But one time I was chatting with him, then you know, he know that I'm a pastor, right? And then hey, Woody, have you, you know, gone on the internet lately? I'm like, yeah. He's like, no, I'm talking about, you know, pornographic site. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, there's a lot of free pornographic site. You should check it out. I'm like, don't you know I'm a pastor, you know, right? But for him, his wife allowed him to do it, right? Why? Because as long as he doesn't go out there and cheat on her, it's fine, right? So even though outwardly he's really, really, really a nice guy, right? But I'm sure he, you know, view pornographic all the time, right? Because it's normal, right? It's normal. If anyone, right, outsider do not watch pornographic, people think they are weird. It's normal nowadays, right? And remember one time, there's a priest, right, at a church. He had an affair with one of the sisters in church, not at church, because he's a priest, right? Because I know this priest, right? And then you know what the congregation said? It's fine, as long as he doesn't go out to molest little kids. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, right? That kind of stuff is so normalized now that we don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore. So don't think, right, that when you marry someone outside the church, actually, they don't know what's right and what's wrong, right? What's right and what's wrong. So here it's very clear. That's why in verse 15 said, do you not know that your body are members of Christ, right? Our body are members of Christ. Shall I then take a member of Christ and make them a member of a harlot? Certainly not. Verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot, who is this harlot he's talking about? Is he talking about a prostitute? What harlot he's talking about? What's this harlot talking about? Yes, Gentile, right? A person have not been cleansed by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. They're just like a harlot, right? Why? Because they're defiled, right? That's all it is, right? But we are the temple of God. We've been baptized and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So because of this, we cannot consummate with anyone who is not baptized. Because the minute we consummate with a person who's not baptized, we bring sin into our body. Why? Because this body, right? Verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So don't use our own will and our own way to see things. Of course, sometimes it's very difficult, especially when you meet a woman or a man, and you really love them the way they are and stuff. But you must be very careful, right? Especially for brothers, right? When you're in college, right? Your beautiful woman come to say hi to you, right? Where have you been all my life, right? What would you do? You cast them out. Why? You know why? Because that your assassin comes to assassinate you and kill you. I'm telling you. It happens to many brothers already, right? Why? Because the Satan is not going to bring someone who's ugly to talk to you, right? Why? Because you're going to run away, right? So that's why, actually for sisters too, right? When you go to college, stuff like that, sometimes you feel so empty, right? You feel lonely, right? And all of a sudden some guy comes, slick hair, whatever, right? Why? We can try to comfort you, right? Really? The minute you do that, you must cast it out. You must cast it out, right? And, my niece Evelyn, right? Thank God she has graduated college, and thank God she's okay. Right, she's okay, right? The first year she went to college, right? Maybe, I hope she's not watching, because sometimes they watch the live stream. So I'm talking about her, right? So may I get out of the microphone? So actually, the first day she was in college, right? She called me, Uncle, he's a really cute guy, right? Cute guy, and live next to her, right? Of course, he's tall, right? And he's a swimmer. And he's Asian, right? So, of course, it's hard to find a tall, right? A swimmer Asian, right? So she feel like, what should I do? What I tell her? You must cut down that tree. You cut down the tree, right? Because that's the tree of knowledge, good and evil, right? You don't want to get to know it, right? Of course, I pray with her, right? And this and that. So we did, And one time, maybe I'm going too much. Okay, so whatever it is, right? So of course, at first, right, she think this kid is so handsome looking, right? Even her sister, when she went over, it's like, oh. That's what she told me, right? Right? And then, I said, how can it be a guy be that handsome, right? Right? And then I told her mother went over there to check him out. It's like, he's not that handsome, right? But for them, right, for my niece, she thought he was so handsome, right? And I just tell you, must pray about and this and that. And the thing is, in college dorm on the door, right, it has a little notepad where you can write note to each other, right? You guys have that? They have that at which you go, right? So he would write, hello, Evelyn, something like that, right? He doesn't know who she is, but he would just write a little note to her, right? And she has a roommate too, but not for her roommate, but for her, right? He would write a note, right? And then one time my niece respond, right? Because sometimes you feel good, right? When a handsome guy, right? Right, sporty guy say something you want to respond back, right? And I say, erase that thing right away. You must erase it, right? And whatever he writes on there, you just erase it, right? Why? Because even though in the beginning it's no harm done at all, right? It's only something very simple, right? Hello, right? Before you know it, how are you, right? You don't want how are you to come, right? Really, so I tell her to erase it, and she pray about, right? Then thank God, he moved out of her dorm. Only like 4 or 5 months later, right? He moved out, right? And then she saw him again on campus. You know what she said to me? I can't believe I thought he was handsome. Right? You understand what I'm telling you, right? When Satan bring a person to you, you're blindsided, right? You do not know what is good and what is bad. Because you must be very careful, right? Brother, just focus, right, on your spirituality, right? Focus on your family, focus in school. If you be able to focus these three things, those other things don't worry about, right? Adam, he has nothing to do all day, right? He didn't go look for women, right? He just named all the animals, right? Tend the garden, right? Then one day God said, go to sleep, woke up, bones of my bone, right? How beautiful that is, right? So really, we talk about this, look, we have to take it very seriously. When we don't marry in Christ, our marriage start in the wrong end already, right? Start wrong already. So because of this, there's no way our marriage can be fulfilled in the sense that God wants to bless us with everything. So we must really think, right? Let's go to Genesis. Genesis. Do you guys feel like I'm pulling your hair out of your head about marriage? I do on purpose, right? Because that's what Nehemiah did, right? Pull your hair. I'm just pulling your brain, actually, right? Make you think, right? Make you think, okay? Look at Genesis, right? Genesis. Chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. No, when God said, right, let us make man in our own image, right? And then God make man his own image and likeness. What does this mean? His own image and likeness. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? When God said, let's make man in our own image, and then God make man in his image and his likeness, what's this mean? What does this mean? What's that? Okay, holiness and righteousness. Where does it say that, brother? Yes, Ephesians 4:24, right? Let's go to Ephesians 4:24 first. Because it's very important. We want to talk about Genesis, right? Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians 4:24. Please always remember this. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on a new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God, right? Don't think, oh, God has ears like us, right? Eyes like us, right? He doesn't, right? Because God is spirit, right? God is spirit. But when he say in his own image and likeness, mean his own true holiness and righteousness. So in other words, Adam and Eve had the true righteousness and holiness of God. Then let's go back to Genesis. Genesis. Verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper compatible to him. Right? So what does this mean? You think about this, right? Adam, God created him his own image, his own likeness. But then in verse 20 said, so Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper compatible to him. Compatible to him. So this means God already considered, right? Consider what? Consider what? God consider what for Adam? Sister, what do you think? Where did God try to find this helper for Adam? Yeah, where? According to this verse. Yes, you're right, from the animals, right? But look at closely, right? Cattle, the birds of the air, beasts of the field. What do these things represent? What is Gentiles, yes. Where does it do that? Where does it say that? Huh? If you give the right answer, you must have the right verse, right? Oh, what's that? If you heard me say it before, then you should remember the book I quoted from too, right? I'm just giving you a hard time. Yeah. So where does it say that the beast of the field, like the bird of the air, the cattle represent Gentiles? In New Testament, hint, New Testament. Yes, Acts chapter. Acts chapter what? 10, right? Acts chapter 10. This is the vision of Peter, right? Vision of Peter. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, verse 10. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, right? Sometimes you and I pray like this too, you almost fall asleep, right? During IHTS, right? This 3 weeks ago, IHTS. A couple of sisters almost fell, right? Because she fell asleep. But thank God, no, she didn't fall. He almost did, right? Almost did. But Peter, instead of saying he was falling asleep, said, no, he's in a trench, right? Okay. So here, verse 11. And saw heaven open, an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. Verse 12. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals, right? These cattle, right? Four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, right? Creepy things, and birds of the air. Verse 13. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 14. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Verse 15. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. So what does this mean? Actually, these animals represent the Gentile. Why? Because at the time, God moved Peter's heart to go to the house of Cornelius. But Peter said, no, I would never eat anything unclean. But God said, not if he cleanses it. So it only become clean when God cleanses it with his blood. So always remember this, right? Let's go back to Genesis. So here, from the beginning, God taught us already, right? Remember, do animals speak back then? Huh? Did animals speak back then? What do you guys think? Yes. Yes. Why? Because the serpent spoke. He was very cunning, right? So don't think that back then the animals, right? I'm sure Adam having fun, right? You know, naming all the animals, right? This and that, right? It's amazing how much wisdom he had, right? A leopard. Wow, it does look like a leopard. Can you imagine he look an elephant, a mouse? Right? A mouse does not look like an elephant, right? But he have such wisdom, right? So here, of all the cattle, the bird of the air, the wild beasts, they also speak. They spoke to Adam. But God said none of them compatible to Adam. Because God had not created them in his own image, his own likeness, right? So the same thing for us. When we are baptized, we put on Jesus Christ. So because we put on Jesus Christ, once again, we have the image and likeness of God in true holiness and true righteousness. But all the animals, they don't have that. Not because they are bad. I mean, it's nice to talk to them, right? Not because they are bad, but in the eyes of God, they're still sinners. So always remember this, right? And then look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to a man. Verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. So here, right here. So the Lord caused Adam go into a deep sleep. And he slept and he took one of his ribs. So Eve come from Adam's body. Right? Come from Adam's body. So nowadays, we also must marry someone come from the same body, right? Body of who? Huh? Body of who? Christ, yes. Because Christ is second Adam, right? So they must come from the body of Christ. And how can that be? When they are baptized, right? When people are baptized into Christ, we come from the same body. Can you imagine, right? When God took Eve and brought it to Adam. Then Adam said what? Bones, my bone, flesh, my flesh. Can Adam say that if God bought him a cattle? Oh, bones of my bones. And flesh my flesh. No. It cannot be, you understand? Because a cattle's bone, right? Bigger, right? And their skin, they're so rough and hairy, right? Even though some people have very hairy, but you cannot compare to this wild beast hairy, right? You understand, right? So no way Adam can say bones of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Right? Why? Because their flesh is different. Their bones are different, right? What happened if God brought him what? What is the closest thing to human, right? Chimpanzee, right? Right, chimpanzee. Can Adam say bones my bone, flesh my flesh? I don't think so. No way. No way. Only human being, right? Only those who've been baptized and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Then when we marry them, we can say bones my bone and flesh my flesh. Because that person come from the same body. And another thing too, right? When we're looking for a woman to marry, a sister to marry, it's very important, right? And Adam said, this bone of my bones. How does Adam know that it's bone of his bones? Because bones underneath the skin, right? That is the thing that is most important, brothers. Because I know, you know, at your age, when I was your age, same thing too, right? Maybe some of you have more wisdom than I did, right? You look for a sister who inwardly beautiful, right? But what is your age? All about looks, right? All about looks, right? Of course, sometimes you go out with a beautiful girl, whatever, you meet a beautiful girl, but she's not too smart. And then, you know, sometimes you still go out with her, right? Why? Just outwardly, right? So here, Adam, the first thing he saw was deep down inside, because his bones of his bones, right? Deep down inside, she was a beautiful woman. So sister, really, would you want to, you know, to make yourself look beautiful? Don't try to use makeup, right? Eyelashes, right? Fingernails, whatever you call it, right? Right? Don't try to, you know, beautify yourself in that way. But rather, beautify yourself inwardly. Inwardly. That is the most beautiful thing. Why? Because the inward beauty, that's how old you get, right? If you're beautiful now, 80 years from now, well, maybe not 80 years, that's 100 years old, but you're still beautiful, right? Because inwardly, you are beautiful. And brothers, I'm telling you, I share with you this because I was a Gentile once, right? I date all kind of women, I'm telling you, right? I even date Miss Massachusetts, right? And I date Benetton models, right? All kind of people, right? But I really praise and thank God. God gave me a woman that's really after my own heart, really. So outwardly, you know, sometimes I see my wife, she's, you know, she went to Boston in the city, yeah, school. So she, all her friends, right? And they put on Facebook, all the friends, she's like, oh man, I can't believe, really, she gained like 200 pounds. Right? I'm telling you, some of them gain like 200 pounds. And I look at them like, are you sure they're your friend? Say, yes, they are my friends. How can that be, right? But it's normal, I'm telling you, right? Right? Really, it's crazy, right? But that's why when you marry, I'm telling you, especially for brothers, if you marry a really, really beautiful sister, outwardly, you're going to worry a lot about her. Why? Because everywhere she go, and every guy's gonna come, right? Try to get her number, right? Then you have more worry, right? More worry, right? So really, if you can find a sister who's not so good looking, but in your eyes she's so beautiful, this is the best, right? This is the best, right? Why? Because no one else thinks she's beautiful, but you think she's beautiful. And that's the best way, right? But it doesn't mean that, right? God would never give us someone that's so ugly we cannot stand it, right? Really, you must trust in God, right? God cannot bring a person and you say, wow, what is that, Lord, right? It will not happen. It's a guarantee it will not happen, right? Why? Because God made Eve also very beautiful. Right? not only bones of my bone, but also flesh of my flesh. Inwardly and outwardly beautiful, right? Of course, even though, you know, brothers, you guys have it made, really, right? Because sometimes, you know, brothers have more choices for sisters, right? And some sister end up marrying like a brother's not so handsome, right? But, you know, but thank God sisters have great faith, I'm telling you, right? One time a sister, she was matchmaker, right? She never see this brother, you know, she heard of him, but she never really see him before, right? So she picked him up at the airport. And when he came into the car, she's like, oh. And she testified this too, really. She testified in front of everybody too, right? She was saying that, oh no, God, really? Is this a person I need to get married to, right? And then while she's driving, she's like 40 minutes away from home, right? She's praying, she's praying. Guess what? After the drive, 40 minutes later, she looked at him. Wow, he's quite handsome. Really? This is a true testimony, right? True testimony. Why? Because God allowed to see the inner, and this brother is very, very good brother. Very good brother. He's been counseled many years, right? Very fervent, very zealous, right? God allowed to see the inner beauty, right? 40 minutes later, that's it, right? Even you go to a surgeon, you cannot change your face that quickly, right? Right? When you're not good looking, you're not good looking. Even you try many things, right? But God can make everybody become beautiful, right? In your own eyes, right? In your own eyes. But here, what is another thing we should focus on, right? So that's why I don't think Nehemiah. He was so tough with the people. No, what he did, because out of love. Why? Because they rebuilding the wall. Before the wall, put up the wall, you must get rid of everything first. If not, then the wall cannot become strong. The same thing for you and I. Some churches, we have about 30 youth, right? Young people my age. None of them can serve God. Why? Because they marry Gentiles. And the church is so weak. Why? Because none of them can be strong in their faith. Really? Please think and reflect, brothers, sisters. For me, you'd rather, you know, brothers, a lot of us, we don't have the gift, right? If you have the gift, don't marry. If you cannot find the one that truly God bring to you, right? Well, a lot of times we don't have too many brothers as a gift, right? Sisters, some of you have the gifts. And use your gifts, because I know some sisters, they don't marry, right? But they're very joyful, right? But I'm not saying you cannot marry. Please, you marry. Because marriage is also good, right? It's good to have children, right? To have a husband take care of you, right? And call you beautiful and things like that. It's good, right? It's very good. Here, right? Where did he get married? Where did they get married? Where? Where? In the Garden of Eden. Who married them? God. This is the goal you and I need to reach. If you cannot get married in the garden, where's the garden nowadays? Huh? The church? The Garden of Eden. Why do we say the church is the Garden of Eden? Why? Why do we say the church is the Garden of Eden? Sister, you want to say something? To church, just like the Garden of Eden, right? God walked in the Garden of Eden, right? He spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So the same thing, a church is where Christ is in the midst of us. He speaks to us, right? He walked among us. So because of this, our goal is to get married in church. You know, when my wife and I got married, right? When my wife and I got married, we live in Boston back then. And we do not have, we do not have a church in Boston back then. We have a prayer house. So, you know, I have a big family, right? And it's almost 40 of us drove from Boston, right? That's only family members. And we have friends too, right? And all our friends, they thought we were crazy. My family thought we were crazy too, right? Paulina, she was too small back then. She was a flower girl. She was that big back then, right? Sisters, you know, women, they say, oh, like that brother, right? None of us thought like that, right? So, yeah. So what happened, we drove, okay? And my mother, my adopted mother, right, of course, she disowned me during that time, right, because I got baptized in TJC. And then she said, why don't you get married in the Greek Orthodox Church? What's the difference, right? And the Greek Orthodox Church is so much better. So when my family, our friends, you know, drive with us, first, it should take only, what, 4 hours, right? From Boston to New Jersey, it should be only 4 hours, right? And guess how long it took us during that time? Because what happened, our brother gave me direction. And this brother, he's not from this area. He's from California, right? So I listened to him, right? Because I didn't know any better, I guess. Stress, all the weddings are stressful, right? So he took us through New York instead of come around New York. So it took us 9 hours to get here. 9 hours. You know, my family, my friends all want to kill me, and right? And then when they come, they saw the church. Booty, you can get me at this church? You know that? We drove 9 hours one way to meet in this church, right? For them, because they don't, you know, they just think, look, you can rent so many beautiful churches in Boston, right? You know, in Boston, there's some churches like built in 1400, like 1500, right? You can rent and get married there, right? You can get married in the Boston Garden, right? Not the where the Celtics play. There's a Boston Garden there, right, outside. So beautiful, right? So beautiful. And we come here all the way to New Jersey. They thought, wow, that church must be very beautiful for us to drive all the way there. And back then, the Elizabeth Church has not remodeled anything yet. You know, the walls all falling apart back then. You guys been to Elizabeth, right? But now they remodel and stuff like that, right? I think it's a little bit better now, right? But for them, they cannot understand it. But for me, my wife and I understood very clearly. Of course, when we're talking about Mary in church, more important is not the building. More important that you are still in Christ, right? You are still in Christ. Because if you commit sin against God, no longer you can marry inside the Garden of Eden. No longer you can marry in church. No longer God will preside over your wedding. If this happened, it's the saddest time. Why? Because when you are married for life, brothers and sisters. So don't take it very lightly. Because when we're married for what? For a whole life, then there's no divorce unless of adultery, right? So we must consider very thoroughly. So when we went to, when we got married first, the wedding was so long. The wedding was so long because before all the other weddings, when the minister come out, they speak maybe 10, 15 minutes, right? During the time, I think the sermon was an hour and 15 minutes, right? So now when I preside over the wedding, I ask them, how long do you want me to give a sermon for? And usually they say 10, 15 minutes, right? I say, okay, that's good, right? 10, 15 minutes. Because including everything, maybe 45 minutes an hour, right? But that time was like 2.5 hours. Everybody was sweating, was so hot, right? That's another story. But we drove all the way to Elizabeth to get married in church. And then I know one of the brothers shared with me, when the minister bless you, you remember the blessing they have blessed upon you. And it is always going to come true. Sure enough, until now, I remember the blessing that the pastor, right, blessed us with. Until now, God always blesses us with that blessing. It's really amazing. So we really need to aim, brothers and sisters, to get married inside the Garden of Eden so God can preside over our wedding. And only then that our wedding can be truly blessed, right? But what happened if you already commit sin against God, right? Commit sin against God. Please do not get married in the church. Because if you get married in the church, this means truly we not have repented from our sin, right? Because I know some of the youth, you know, we know they already have sexual relationship. Then because they know the United States, we know about it, and then they went to Taiwan and get married in church over there, right? Don't do such things. And of course, when this thing happened, who will be hurt the most? Your parents, right? Your parents will be very sad because every parent wants their children to get married in TJC, inside the church. But even that is the case, don't lie and don't try to deceive because God knows everything. Really, God knows everything. One time I heard a testimony. This couple already have sexual relationship, got married in church. On the way to honeymoon, a truck hit them, they both died. Right? This is serious punishment. So what I'm saying to you,
Even you get married outside the church and you pray for God's mercy. And God's mercy still come upon you. But of course, you should not sin in the first place. It's difficult. Thank God I'm not your age. Really, thank God. Because I was in college, everything is so crazy already. I can't imagine nowadays, you guys, your age, right? How many crazy things you guys do out there. Not you guys, but all the people out there, right? But nevertheless, we must keep ourselves pure. But if you marry outside the garden, there's no blessing. There's no blessing. Look at Lamech, right? Let's go to Lamech. Genesis chapter 4. Chapter 4. Remember, this is the time that God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden already, right? And this is the first marriage that they talk about. Chapter 4, verse 19. When I read these verses, I try to understand what it's trying to teach us, right? Genesis chapter 4, verse 19. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zelah. Verse 20. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. Verse 21. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. Verse 22. And as of Zelah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama. Verse 23. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zelah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. Verse 24. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Here, can you imagine the first marriage? Or not the first marriage, but the marriage that was described in the Bible after they come out of the Garden of Eden, right? First, Lamech had how many wives? Two wives, right? Two wives. In the beginning, it's only one, right? One man, one woman, right? Adam and Eve. Remember Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? Right? Remember that too, right? And only one woman. Right? One woman. And, I mean, his wife's name was Ada, right? Ada and Zelah, right? Ada and Zelah. And then they all bore children, right? They bore children. And what do the children do? What do the children do? We just read it, right? What did he do? The first one, right? Verse 20. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. What does it mean you're a father, right? Those who live in tents, what does it mean you're a father? What's that? What's that?
Status?
You started, right? You started. So he's the father of all those who live in tents. This means any construction, any houses, right? Just like nowadays, right? You can be like, what is the guy with the funny hair? Who's the guy who owns a lot of property and stuff? Yeah, Donald Trump. How can I forget him? Donald Trump with the funny hair, right? Donald Trump, right? I mean, he's the father of those who live in tent. This means those who live in tent must go through him. Right? He's the father of it, right? But that's all they focus on, right? That's all. And then the next child is what? The other one is tent and livestock, right? In 21. His brother's name was Jubal. I mean, it's very hard to pronounce. I'm destroying their names, but it's okay. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute, right? This means he's the father of those in any kind of instrument. He's the father of it, right? This means status, right? Very, very high. One is the father of all the construction, all the house, all the building, right? And all the livestock, right? And one is the father of all the, you know, instrument, any instrument. He's the one, he's the father of it, right? And then look at verse 22. And as of Zelah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman and bronze and iron. And the sisters, you can see, right? He's the father of also all these things, right? Bronze, iron, anything, right? Can someone tell me what's that mean? What's that mean?
Their children, right? Their children. Focus on what? On what? Huh? Yes, the worldly aspect of things, right? This is all worldly stuff. So the first thing you notice when you marry someone outside the church, a Gentile, their focus, their minds are very different from you and I. Our goal is to reach the heavenly kingdom, is to glorify God, is to worship God. But the goal of those who do not believe is all come from the worldly things. Why? Because their father is Satan. Not because they want Satan to be a father, but the way they live their lives, right? So they can't help it. But look at the descendant from Adam, right? Look at verse chapter 5, verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Verse 4. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the day of Adam lived, look. Look how they live their lives, right? Do they gain anything from the world? No. They do not. They were not father of anything. They begot, then what? They live and they die. But you can see, all the other one, there's nothing to do how they live, right? They don't mention they live, how long they live, and things like that. In the eyes of God, they are dead already. Because these are people who do not call on the name of the Lord. So for you and I, very different. Look at the goal of Seth and his descendant, and of Cain and his descendant, right? And look at Lamech. First, he had two wives. I'm telling you, if you marry someone outside the church, the chances for them to cheat on you is 99.9%. Nowadays, maybe my mother's generation is different because they fear God, right? My adopted mother, she's with my father all her life, right? She never had a boyfriend thing. But nowadays, no ways like this. Very few. The only people you can find continue to be pure and stuff is inside a church. Really inside a church. Outside the church, anyone you marry, even in the beginning, they are pure in the sense that, you know, they have not been having a sexual relationship with anyone. But when you marry them, the chance for them to cheat on you, very, very high. Very, very high. The minute they cheat on you, your marriage is gone. Your marriage is gone. I know one brother, right? It's very sad. He married a woman who's not a believer. Right? One day he went home. He saw his wife with another man, right? And the wife didn't even flinch when he saw him. He's like, yeah, so what? Right, so what? And then even the brother, personally, he begged her, right, to stay with him and stuff. If you want me to stay with you, I'm still going to have, you know, our relationship, right? It's so crazy, right? So crazy. So really, please think. It's very crucial to your faith, to your faith. Don't marry because of looks. Don't marry because you're so attracted to that person outwardly. Look at in a deeper, right? More beauty that's inside. Look at verse 23. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zelah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. Can you imagine this, right? Sister, would you like to marry a guy like this? Listen to me, right? Ada and Zelah, right? Listen to me. And you probably think, wow, what is so important, right? You're going to say what? Are you going to say, I love you? Right? I love both of you. No, what do you say? For I've killed a man for wounding me, right? Why he's so proud for killing someone, right? And he wants you to listen to it, right? He said, here, right? I have wounded a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain should be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. This means he's so proud for sinning against God. If you marry someone outside the church, their mentality is also like this, right? When they lie, when they cheat, when they steal, when they watch pornographic, they'd be very proud. Even want you to listen to it. But the most important thing is that the minute we consummate with this kind of person, we sin against God. Right? We sin against God. So please consider. Right? Consider. Hopefully, you know, by discussing this, that you really give a deep thought, right? Just like Nehemiah is pulling the hair, you also want to pull your brain, pick your brain, right? And try to straighten out a little bit, right? See the inner beauty. Because I know, because I'm only 40 years old, and I thank God I married the wife that God have given to me. If I marry anyone else, right? Oh, man. Oh, suffering, sorrow upon sorrow, right? And many sisters and brothers who marry outside the church, this is what happened. Sometimes I wish I can bring them here and testify to all of you, right? How much suffering they go through marrying outside the church. But of course, they feel very embarrassed, right? They don't want to share with all the brothers and sisters. It's very sad, right? Every time I think about their cases, right? So please, right? Please consider. And if those of you who have girlfriend and boyfriend, you must get rid of them already, right? You guys are way too young, right, to get married. Especially if some of you have girlfriends outside the church. Even inside the church, you must get rid of them, right? If God's will for you to marry them, she will wait, he will wait. Just the way it is, right? But don't sin against God before you even start serving him. Please. Because the future generation, right? The future hope of our church is all in you. Every single one of you. If you marry outside the church, if your faith is weak, then the church will become weak and Satan will occupy the whole church. Why? Because the wall will not be built around the church or around our hearts. So we really praise and thank God for this sharing, and we hope that we really take this to heart. Right? Take this to heart. Let's all rise and sing hymn. Brother, what's your favorite hymn? God, please be seated. You know, my wish and my prayer that I hope that one day, the end days, that you and I can fight together side by side. Because on the end days, Satan will deceive many, and many will become his army. But we hope and pray that none of you, including myself, will go to the side of an enemy that is Satan. So that's why it's so important. All of you are still so young. And while you are young, cultivate yourself.
build the wall around your hearts so the church also can be strong. But if you do not build a wall around your hearts, then the church becomes weak. Why? Because the church are you and you. That's why on the end days, we only have one another. And even though we are few, but God is with us. So let us continue to meditate on the Word of God. Let's continue to pray to Him. And don't give up so easily. We are the chosen people of God. We are His royal priesthood. We are His holy nation. We are His special people. And God is our God. So don't give that up so easy for the things of this world. Give the things of this world to the people in the world, but give us our God, because only our God can fulfill us, and only our God can give us the hope to live in this life and the life to come. Now let's come up and pray together.